Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Tonight, I'm going to start in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28 is known as the blessing and curse of the law. You know, it's God saying what would happen if we'd obey Him, His word, and then what would happen if we didn't obey Him and His word. And it's pretty interesting because you can read through here and you can look that any nation that, you know, that kicks God out, that these curses start coming on them. And it's really not that God's doing it. I know, you know, when in our English Bible, it says the Lord will, you know, bring on you all these things. But, you know, when you do a little word study, the Hebrew, it really isn't a causative sense that God's causing it. It's a permissive sense. In other words, like, this is the way you want to live. Here you go. You know what I'm saying? You can have it. And so it isn't like, you know, it sounds that way in our English Bible because we don't have the language that they have. And so help me understand what I'm talking about there. It's you know, the verbs that they have are different than the ones that we have. And so so you see this, that God just says if you'll do certain things, this will come on you. And if you disobey me, this will come on you. And if you obey me, this will come on you. And, you know, anybody with some intelligence could read that and say, I think I'll take the good side. Amen. You know what I mean? Yeah. But have you know, before you met Jesus, you're just in darkness and you don't have a clue. I didn't have a clue. Come on, are y'all with me? That's why I can have compassion on those that are still bound and all, because I used to be bound by drugs and alcohol and all that and, you know, lived a rough lifestyle. I didn't know any different. You know, I listen to, you know, I hear the words of some of the music I used to listen to and I think, what in the world was I thinking listening to that on the highway to hell? I mean, why would I want to sing that and rejoice over that? I mean, you know, it means a little bit to me now since I know there's a literal hell. Amen. And so, you know, a lot of the things that we did, we just did, you were in darkness, you know, you didn't have any light. You didn't know any different. Amen. And so you can't act like you got it all together. You were just as goofy and as dumb and messed up as they are now. A little less amen on that. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Righteous all my life. Why don't you repent for your lying? And perhaps God will forgive you. Help me understand what I'm talking about. So here we have this blessing and curse. And one of the things that God said was a curse is things like fear, worry, and anxiety. And so that's what I'm going to talk to you tonight. Probably just... this will probably be part one. There'll probably be some other parts to this. But I want to talk to you about how we're redeemed from the curse of worry. Now, I want to read this to you now in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 65. If you want to look at that, it says, God said, this is talking about the curse, what would happen if Israel didn't obey Him. And He said, and among these nations you shall find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest, but the Lord will give you there a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of your life. In the morning you will say, would God it were evening, and at evening you would say, would God it were morning, for the fear of your heart wherewith you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes which you shall see. So you see in there, you see things like fear, anxiety, worry, always uncertainty about your life, how things are going to turn out, and so forth. And I used to live a lifestyle like that. You know, just, you know, I look back and I used to get, when I was younger, I used to get these, what do they call them? You know, you get the mouth ulcers or something like that. And, you know, those things come from worry. I don't get those any longer because I don't worry anymore. Hallelujah. I don't say I don't have to fight that, but I don't yield to that. You understand what I'm saying? But you know, I mean, in those days, I mean, you look back and you think, how could you be 18, 19, 20 years old, 21 years old and have all these worries? Well, it's a lifestyle, the way you live. Worried you're going to get arrested, worried, you know, your girlfriend's going to leave you. And well, I'm so glad all of them left me. So I have this girl in the front row. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. God's smarter than I am. Or you know what I'm saying? Things, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? You got your things to worry about. You know, like you mess up in school and stuff like that. And, you know, I'd gotten in trouble in school several times. And one teacher told me I was going to turn out like Adolf Hitler. He's a false prophet. I did not. By the way, not even before I was saved was I that like that. But anyway, I'm still a pretty nice guy, I think, sometimes. And but my point is, you know, that stuff comes on you because that does stuff to your body. Y'all listening to me? Worry. You ever notice that guys, a lot of times guys go in the White House and when they're in there, they get gray hair? You know, except Trump, and he gives everybody else gray hair. Yeah. Anyway. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Remember Obama, when he went in and had dark hair, he came out, he had gray hair. Bush, the same thing. Clinton, same thing. Same thing. You watch that, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of pressure. That's why we should pray. You think about the pressure in the natural, but how many know there's spiritual pressure? How many know the devil would like to, you know, he wants to mess them up because he doesn't want the gospel going forth from America. Now, I don't know what it is now, but at one time, 90% of the gospel came out of our country. Mm-hmm. It's probably a little less than that now, because a lot of other countries are doing some things for God now. Amen. And not that they weren't before, but it's just, we just had such riches and wealth and a platform that we could really preach the gospel. And we still do. Praise God. Yep. Amen. Amen. You don't realize this until you go out of the country, and they don't have everything like we have. Now, you know, you get in the capital cities of some of these nations, you know, because when I get in the capital city, generally in the capital city, you're going to have some pretty decent stuff. But once you leave, it's all gone. It's gone. It's just there because, you know, of the business and stuff like that. But anyway, this thing about worry, it's a curse.
Yes, it is.
Amen. It's not a blessing. I've never been blessed worrying. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. The devil loves to get a hold of worry. And I'm going to talk about some of these things. He loves to get you into worry because he knows what it'll do to your life. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, have you ever worried about something that never even came to pass?
Exactly.
I think it was Corrie Ten Boom who said something like this. Worry's like a rocking chair. You're busy, but you're not going anywhere. You know. Listen, Brother Hagin said one time his wife said to him, because he said he came from a family of champion warriors, you know, and he had to deal with that because, you know, God dealt with him about worry, and he's like, I can't quit worrying, you know, and it's like the revelation from the Bible just went black for him. It just stopped. He had to deal with that in his life. And he finally got to the place one time his wife said to him, I believe if me and the kids all fell dead, you wouldn't worry. He said, what'd be the point of worrying then? Probably not a real smart answer. But anyway, you know, he just had beat it. Well, you think about it, there's nothing to worry about now. It's too late. And so a lot of things don't even come to pass. And the devil, I don't know if the devil does this to you. I'm assuming he does. I'm assuming he tries it to everybody. You have something, a situation in your life, and he tries to blow it up great big in your mind. You know, it's going to just turn out just terrible. You know, you're just going next door to tell him to turn the music down, and now you got each other fighting one another with guns and stuff. You know, the devil blows it up, and all you just want to say is, hey, turn it down a little bit. Quit throwing your beer cans over my fence. You know what I'm saying? And the devil just blow that up real big. How many ever experienced something like that? Of course, he's involved in that. He's involved in worry and getting you to worry and things of, you know, that nature, because he knows it weakens your faith. Worry and faith, they don't work together. So we have to understand it's a curse. Now, let's talk about this. What is worry? Well, worry is actually mental suffering. It's suffering. You just like you can suffer physically. You ever had something wrong with your body? It's not fun, is it? It's suffering, right? So you can have something, you can have worry in your mind, and that's mental suffering. Come on, are you with me tonight?
Amen.
See, and so here we go under the curse. God said, if you don't obey me, then this will come on you. Well, you know, that's just, it's not that God's slapping you with something. It's just that his principles work, and if you don't work them, you're not going to be free.
Right.
This world's a cursed place. I don't know if you know that or not. All kinds of negative things going on. But thank God, God's given us, he's given us deliverance through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Amen. Doesn't mean we have a problem-free life, but it means we're victorious over everything.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You know, one person came to Brother Hagin one time at a service and said, I want you to pray for me. He said, what do you want me to pray about? He said, I want you to pray I'll never have another problem again or never have to deal with the devil again or issue with the devil again. He said, you want me to pray you'll die? I said, no, I don't want to die. Well, that's the only way it's going to happen. Right? That's the only way it's going to happen. Amen. And so it's not like, you know, we're not preaching some kind of utopia. Some people accuse of preaching utopia like we're never going to have problems. Well, first of all, I've never heard anybody preach that. And if I did hear anybody preach that, I wouldn't listen very long because they're a nut. Because Jesus said, in this world, you will, not you might, you will have tribulation. Aren't you glad you didn't stop there? No, Pentecost stopped right there. And they sang about it. And they preached about it. And everybody shouted about it. But there's more to that verse. But be of good cheer. Be happy. I've overcome it. What's that mean? Because I've overcome it. You can overcome. How many know we're joint heirs with Christ?
Yeah.
Amen. What he has, we get. Amen. I'm talking about the good stuff. He paid the price for us to have it, right? You know, people say, well, you know, I'm just this sickness or something like that. I'm just bearing my cross. No, how many Christ already bore that for you?
Right.
We have a cross to bear, but it's not that. The cross we bear is the putting down of our own flesh and what we want and our will and our desires.
Right.
Jesus bore that other stuff for us.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? But we do have tribulation. We were talking about this the other night. A minister had a guy in his ministry. This was a guy, he wasn't a pastor, but he was a traveling minister. He had a guy in his ministry that was stealing money from the ministry. And they caught him. And of course, you know, that's, you know, what I mean, they say, well, we all forgive. Yeah, we all forgive, but you're breaking the law. This is a civil matter here now. So, you know, the police came and arrested him. And when they actually came to the office to arrest him. And when they were taking him, he said, I don't understand this. I tithed off all this. I mean, you know, maybe you kind of messed it up by stealing it. You know, the tithe doesn't mean much to God if you're stealing. You're tithing off what you're stealing. Help me get that. This minister said, he went to God and he said, I don't understand this. How did this happen? The Lord spoke back and said, I had my Judas, you had yours. He said, I don't want everything you had. But I do want everything he died to pay for, right? And literally now, he died, and this will be argued by religious people, but it's in the Bible. He died so you could be free from the curse of worry. Didn't he say, casting all your care upon me? Because I care for you. It dawned on me one day, I was reading this. I know this isn't a deep revelation, but it hit me. When I read, casting all your care upon me, for I care for you, I thought, well, if he cares for me, that means he'll do something about it. You know, I don't know want anything but my house, but if I had a truck payment, you know, and you know, they used to give you like a little, how many remember they used to give you payment books, you know, and you tear that little coupon out. Come on, how many are old enough to remember that? Some people kept it in their glove box. I don't know why, but they did, you know, and then you tear that little coupon out, you know, and you know, let's say you're in my truck and you get that out of there and you say, oh, here's your coupon book. You know, hey, don't worry about it. And you throw it out the window. You know, I got a real problem with that. But if you say, don't worry about that, and you pull out a bunch of cash and say, I got it covered. Hey, how many know? I'm pretty comfortable. I'm pretty carefree. Right? See, God said, when God says, I care for you, it means he'll do something about it. It's not like he's just saying, I feel sorry for you. Listen, if God felt sorry for us, he'd have had really good reason. But it's not that he just feels sorry for us. It's that he'll do something about it. I feel sorry for people sometimes on things, but sometimes I can't do anything about it. I can't fix it. I've had people, you know, that maybe get a letter from one of my friends or something, you know, and they got something going on in their ministry and they need, you know, $35,000, $45,000, $55,000, $65,000, $100,000, you know. Well, I feel sorry for them. I mean, you know, I'm compassionate about that, but I can't, sometimes I can't solve their issue. But God can solve our issues. He created everything. How many think he's big enough to handle it? Amen. All right. So let's go to Galatians chapter 3. I know this is a familiar scripture to those of us that have been in faith circles for a long time, but I just wanted to see this. That what we just read there is in Deuteronomy is called the curse of the law. It's the curse for disobeying the law. And thank God we're under grace now, right? You know, we're not saved by keeping the law. Thank God for the Ten Commandments. But we're not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. The law is a moral compass for us, right? But our salvation comes through faith in Christ. I wasn't keeping any of the Ten Commandments to get saved. God, you know, I kept all these commandments, you know. I couldn't be like the rich young ruler who went to Jesus and said, what may I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said, well, keep the commandments. And he's going, I kept this one, I kept that one, I kept that. If I'd have come to Jesus way back in 81 and said, Lord, I want to be saved. He said, well, have you kept the commandments? I said, well, none of them. Well, thou shalt not murder. I hadn't done that yet. I thought about it, but I hadn't done it. Just hadn't got there yet. You know what I'm talking about? And I'll admit, I hadn't committed adultery with another guy's wife or anything like that. I mean, I'd sinned other ways, but not that way. So maybe I had kept, I've kept a couple of them, Lord. I mean, that's not good enough. On this new covenant, it's faith. Amen. Because see, on the old covenant, all the law was designed to do was show you got an issue you couldn't fix. You need a Savior. Galatians said it was our schoolmaster to bring us back to Jesus. Used to bring us to, remember the days, they probably don't have this now, but in my day, which, you know, I'm still alive, by the way, but when I was in school, I still have, it's still my day, how many know that? But you know what we say, in my day, you know, everybody's day was always better than today. My day, I don't always think that because it was a lot tougher then. We got a lot, it's a lot easier today. I got more money today, more conveniences today. But anyway, we had what we called truant officers. Remember that? Now, what was their job? If you didn't show up to school, they come to get you. Isn't that right, Randy? Yes. Our uncle was the truant officer, Uncle Stanley. Randy knows he come to get him. He got him a few times. Got him out of the pool hall. What was his job? His job was to bring you back to where you belonged. Amen. That's what the law was for. It wasn't so we'd roll up our sleeves and say, I'm going to keep all this, because you can't because of your flesh. Paul said the weakness isn't with the law, it's with your flesh. That's the weakness. The law is good. It's spiritual. There's nothing wrong with it. But your flesh can't handle all that. Thank God for Jesus. He came and kept the law that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So all that was to bring you to Christ. Amen. Now, so this law, in Deuteronomy 28, the curse was there for breaking it. Now, here's the good thing. In Galatians chapter 3, this is New Testament. Everybody say New Testament. It's at chapter 3, verse 13. It says, Christ hath. It's past tense. Hello? Yeah. Has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. being made a curse for us, for it's written, curse is everyone that hangs on the tree. So he became a curse for all the curses that we deserve.
Right?
He delivered us. I tell people, go back, man, to Deuteronomy sometime and just read all the curses. Here's the reason why. Because you can see what you've been redeemed from. You know, sometimes we want to concentrate on the blessings. Blessed shall you be when you come out. Blessed shall be your basket and your store, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That's good. That's fine. But how many times you need to know, how many know sometimes you need to know what you're redeemed from. So when it shows up in your life, you can put your foot down and say, no, I'm not going to put up with this. You can't stay. Amen.
Amen.
You know, like, we lived out in the country when I was a kid, and I've told you this before, but, you know, dogs would show up, you know, out in the country, because people would dump them off. You shouldn't do that to a dog. I mean, you know, but they would. They'd dump their dogs off and stuff, and they'd come to our house, and here's what you had to learn. You know, you can't stay. You got to put your foot down. We had a dog show up. We nicknamed him Buckshot. Remember him, Randy? Buckshot. Anyway, yeah, that I won't go into detail how he got that name. But anyway, we tried to run him off. He wouldn't run off. Dad tried to run him off. Randy tried to run him off. I don't know if I tried to or not because I like animals. But anyway, tried to run him off. He just wouldn't go anywhere. And so Dad finally gave up and said, okay, he can stay. And the next day he got ran over and killed. But anyway, yeah, it's all right. He's in heaven. And he was a good dog. I'm decent. But how many know, you know, stray cats would, you know, come. We had a skunk one time show up, got in the basement, you know. Yeah, he did, man. The window of the basement was open and he went down in the basement. He was down there for 3 days, but he can't stay. He may be there for 3 days, but he can't stay. And so finally, you know, he scratched at the door and Dad opened the door to the basement, which paralleled with it. On the back porch, the door that went outside, and opened both of them up, and he comes out of there, and he tries to go up in the rest of the house and check it out, and Dad goes, shoo, shoo. And thank goodness he didn't spray, but he went outside. He still wouldn't leave. He still wanted to hang around our house. So Dad, Dad did something to him. He sprayed then, I'll tell you that. He let loose then. But anyway, we're just country folks. Tell me you know what I'm talking about, you know. And so we try to be nice, but if we can't, then we've got guns. Anyway, so Buckshot, he just wouldn't leave. But you know what? If you feed them, they're going to stay. We live in a subdivision. We had like three or four show up in our yard, cats, stray cats. They're living under our shed. And, you know, I wanted to feed them. Because but you can't feed them because if you feed them, they're going to stay. And 4 stray cats will be 8 stray cats, will be 16 stray cats, will be 32 stray. I'm getting thrown out of the neighborhood when I got 32 stray cats living in the backyard. So you can't stay. How many of those things, you got to know what can stay and what can't stay in your life. And when you read those curses, that can't stay. It may show up because I live, like Jesus said, in the world, there'll be tribulation, there'll be trouble, but you can't stay. I'm not welcoming you to stay. You come to pass. You got to go. Amen. So here in in Galatians, look at the next verse, 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse that the blessing. All right. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's us, folks. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Notice this. It's through faith. It all comes through faith. You understand that? What does that mean? Well, it means if you can't walk by sight and walk in the blessing of redemption. Right? You need to believe. In other words, when it comes to this thing, because I want to major on this a little bit and get you to understand that worry is mental suffering. Just like you could have a physical problem and have physical suffering, worry is mental suffering. And it's there to take you out. You have to deal with that. You have to realize you're redeemed from that just like you're redeemed from anything else.
Right.
Just like you're redeemed from sickness, you're redeemed from that. Doesn't mean it's not going to come at you and try to attack you, but you've got some legal ground to stand on.
Right.
Amen. See, I hate you have legal ground. See, nobody can come and, you know, just start building something on your property. Why, you got a deed. You got legal ground to stand on to say, hey, you can't build your shed on my property. Well, yeah, but I don't want it on mine. I want it over on yours. It's not going to work. I can't just move my fence and say, you know, hey, I need a little bit more yard, so move it, you know, 5 feet on my neighbor's yard. My neighbor's wife was coming over. It was when he was having some issues or something, and she was mowing the yard, their yard, and he came over and said, now she's getting over on your yard some. And I tell her about it. I said, leave her alone. Tell her to come a little farther. Just keep coming. I'm not concerned about that. Let her mow as much of it as she wants to. Mow the whole thing. Amen. You know. But anyway, praise God. I can't just go move my fence and just say, you know, hey, I don't know. I just need, you know, I'm going to put in a fire pit and some things and all, horseshoes, things. I need about 5 more feet, so, yeah. He wakes up one morning and the fence guys are out there moving the fence. How many know he's going to have something to say about it, isn't he? I mean, he may be a nice neighbor, but I don't think he's that nice. Come on, are you with me? He's probably going to, if worse comes to worse, he's got some legal documents to stop this. How many know you got some legal document? You got a legal document in your lap. It's called the Word of God to stop some of those things that's coming against you. But you got to pull out the document. I'm going to talk about that some more, but not tonight. Maybe next week. But anyway, let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Go there. Come on, are you getting something tonight? Isaiah 53. We're just talking about we're redeemed from the curse of worry. Isaiah 53. Of course, many of you know Isaiah 53. That's the chapter that describes Jesus going to the cross for us and what he bore for us at Calvary. I've never understood the preachers that get up and say that Jesus didn't pay for our healing when verse 4 says he did. But let's look at verse 5. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But I want you to see this. The chastisement for us to have peace was on him. He bore it so we could have peace. You don't have peace when you're worrying. Do you? No, of course not. So he bore that. Look at Isaiah 54:10. I like this. It says, for the mountains shall depart, the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on you. So we have a covenant of peace. A covenant of peace. Well, that doesn't sound like we're supposed to allow mental suffering to go on in our life then. We're supposed to be in the peace of God. Amen. I've told you this before, but I did some study and read some stuff, listened to some things about, what do they call people that live to be 100, centurions? Is that how you say that? Does that sound right? Greg, is that all right? Centenarians. 100-year-olds. You know, Greg got a degree. He ought to be able to use it for something. How many know that? If nothing else, help pastors speak words right. What is it now again? Centenarians. And so, you know, people that live be 100 years old. You know, like you're all going to. Amen. Not everybody saying amen.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Anyway, let's move on from that. But anyway, then they did a study on how did they live this long, you know? And so he got all kinds of ideas, you know. One guy said he smoked a cigar every day. I'm pretty convinced that's not what caused him to live to be 100.
No, I don't think.
And one guy, he had a Coors Light beer every day. And I'm sure that wasn't the answer. Coors Light thought it was pretty cool. They sent him a cooler so he could have beer in his garage. He's 104, I think. Maybe it's time to move on from that. Anyway. But anyway, you know, and then you know, they get down to the meat and the bones of it. And I noticed a common thread. a lot of the things that it came down to is they said they didn't worry about anything. Think about it. They didn't worry about anything. Now that doesn't mean, now listen, that doesn't mean that they were irresponsible. See, to cast your care over on the Lord is one of the most responsible things you can do, because you're putting it in the hands of somebody that can do something about it. Now you understand he's not going to do for you what you're supposed to be doing yourself. You can't just sit on the couch and say, okay, Lord, I'm just trusting you for money, but I'm not going to do anything. Right? You can't just overeat all the time and say, Lord, I'm trusting you for my health. Well, that really hit a dead spot. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why did I say that? Anyway, that was dumb. But how many know you got to do, you got to do things, right? You can't smoke like a chimney and say, Lord, I'm trusting you to keep my lungs. Come on, are you with me now? See, what I'm saying is you got your part to do, right? But there are some things you can't fix. Amen. See, I think God expects us to use our brains. He gave us for something. Amen. So we use our brain. You know, it's like God, you understand there's not, I mean, if you get a splinter in your finger, what do?
Get it out. That's right.
Get it out. Yeah. I do it kind of weird. Phyllis says I'm kind of weird, but I'll take a pocket knife and just skin and everything. I want it out, man. So isn't that using natural help? You know, you don't just say, Lord, I'm just believing you for that splinter to come out of there. No, you're going to get your knife or whatever, tweezers or something. I use a knife. And you're going to cut the thing out of there and get it out of there, right? Because, well, see, God expects you to do what you can do. How many know that? Right? God expects you to use all the wisdom. You can't drive, you know, 120 miles down the expressway and say, I got angels. No, they left you a long time ago. Remember that? Remember what the devil said to Jesus? Jump off the temple. It's written, he'll give his angels charge over you. Well, you can't do something foolish or stupid and expect God to step in and do something to help you when you're breaking the law. You're breaking natural law, right? So we have to have a balance here, but there's things in life we can't take care of. We can't fix, but he can fix it. Right? If I got a flat tire on my truck, I don't pray and say, oh God, I'm just believing you for that thing. Oh, I just put some air in it and drive it somewhere and get it patched. This is deep. Praise God. How many got something out of that? Praise God. Now you know how to fix your tire. Just drive it somewhere. Amen. Now we got a little bit of time. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. I know we're looking at some scripture tonight, but hey, we're doing some teaching tonight. We just need to understand we're redeemed from the curse. It's a curse, of worry. It's mental suffering, and we're redeemed from mental suffering. Now, once again, you know, casting your care over on the Lord doesn't mean we're not responsible. It just means we're giving it to someone who can actually take care of it. It's really one of the most responsible things you can do, because you're actually giving it to somebody that can handle it. Amen. You know, a long time ago, we were in a building, and we'd been in there for 7 years. It's in our beginning days. We'd been in a building for 7 years, and the company that we leased the building off of sold it to, what was that drugstore? Walgreens. Sold it to Walgreens. And so they're going to put a drugstore there. And so So, you know, we're not under any, our contract had ran out a long time ago, and I never renewed it with them because I wasn't going to say anything. They didn't say anything. That was, I could leave anytime I wanted to, you know. Wasn't tied in anything. So anyway, so we didn't have a contract and all. So we had to get out, you know, and all that. So we went to a Bible school. How many remember the Bible school we were at? It was a nice building, nice place. So we were there under you know, a month-to-month basis with them and so forth. But the man had told me, now he had told me when we got it from them, he said, now you'll have to be out in a year because we're going to redo this thing, do something different. Now it was a new building, but they were going to redo and make their format different. So we'd have to get out. So, but you know what? I forgot. Imagine that. I forgot. So 2 weeks before we have to get out, he calls me and says, now you do remember you have to get out. I said, no, I don't. He said, I told you. And I'm like, well, I didn't argue with the guy. I said, well, okay. So I go home and tell Phyllis that I got a call today from this guy, and he tells me we have to be out in 2 weeks. And she said, and I said, he said he told me. I said, he didn't tell me that. She goes, oh, yes, he did. Now he's against me and she's against me. So, you know what? I'm like the Fonz. I was, remember that show when Fonz had to admit he was wrong? It took him all show. Finally, he got it out. I was wrong. And so, but here's the problem. I got 2 weeks to find us another building. You don't think the devil didn't try to buffet me with that? I'd go to bed and think, oh, man, I'm going to have to get out and tell people. We're out in the street. Pastor messed up, and now our church is out in the street. We're the first street church of Evansville. Amen. We're not Oasis Church any longer. We're Under the Bridge Church. Christ Under the Bridge Chapel. I mean, the devil just went off on me, man. I'm telling you, he did. I had to fight that. And, you know, and part of that was I brought part of that on myself, but fools, because of their, remember that scripture? Psalm 107, fools, because of their iniquities are afflicted, but they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. So I cry out to the Lord, and a week before, I think it was about a week before we had to get out, we found that building over on Vogel. Amen. And it was empty. And it wasn't quite ready for us, but it was good enough. We could have church in it until we finished up, you know, doing some of the things we need to do with it. But, you know, I had to cast the care of that over on the Lord. Really. Really. The devil will fight you. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of worry. We're redeemed from it. I don't have to do it because I got somebody that'll help me in time of trouble. I got somebody to help me. Yeah. I'm not like I used to be. I didn't have anybody to help me. I got somebody to help me now that can really help me. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so everything worked out, and it was just a perfect spot for us. Matter of fact, after we did some things to it, and after we got done with it, there's still a church there today. They've been there all these years. That thing has been a church for about 20 years now. Anyway, let's go to Luke. We'll close right here. Did you get something today?
Yeah.
Luke chapter 12. Let's go there. Maybe we started to read it. Did we start to read this? Okay. Luke chapter 12, verse 29. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, in verse 29, Luke 12, and seek not what you shall, and seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink. In other words, don't be caught up with the natural things. That's what he's talking about. We read the previous verse, he's talking about, don't worry about your life, the natural things. How many know God knows you need things?
Yeah.
Right? You know, and we need more than just, you know, life was a lot simpler in those days, but it was a lot harder. But they just needed certain things. We need a lot more things than they need. How many know, I don't need a donkey today. I've ridden one. I can tell you exactly why they call them Jack A's. It's an appropriate name. It's a Bible name. It's what the King James calls them for a good reason. And like old farmer, you know, he had one time, and the guy was over at his farm, and he walked out there with the tube before and hit it upside the head. He goes, what in the world are you doing? He says, I'm just trying to get his attention. This is not a PETA night, is it? Right. Don't give Peter this message. All right. So he's just talking about don't get caught up in all the natural stuff. Now notice this. Verse 29, seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Neither, this is the King James, be you of a doubtful mind. All right. See, some translations say anxiety. I like this doubtful mind. And the reason I do is because literally what this means where it says doubtful mind is don't live in, it, my cross reference says live not in careful suspense. In other words, you're in suspense. This word here where it says doubtful mind, it means to suspend in midair. Young's Little Translation says be not in suspense. The Amplified Bible says that don't be troubled or unsettled in mind. In other words, not knowing how things are going to turn out. See, what is a suspense movie?
You don't know.
You don't know, right? Why is it suspense? You don't know who did it. Amen. We watch this one movie I've told you about before. It's an older movie. It's called Charades. And I mean, the first time I watched it, it looked like Cary Grant was the bad guy. And I know Cary Grant. I've watched Cary Grant for years. He's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. I'm thinking, he can't be doing these killings. It can't be him. And, you know, you had to watch it all the way to the very end to find out it was Walter Matthau. Yeah. Now, I could believe Walter Matthau did it. I mean, look how mean he was to Dennis the Menace. I could believe him. But I couldn't believe it was Cary Grant. Not Cary Grant. No. But it sure looked like him all the way through. It was just like suspense. And the good thing about me is, you know, a few weeks later I can watch it and I still don't know who did it. Unless she tells me. It's done gone. Oh, you don't know how many times I can watch movies and not know who did it. Unless Miss Perfect has to tell me there how it ends. Because she remembers. But I don't always. No, I got it now. I've watched it enough times. You know, I've got it down. Amen. I wrote it down so I remember. No, I'm teasing. But it's suspense because of why? You don't know how it's going to turn out. Right? This is what Jesus said. Don't live your life with a mind that's full of suspense, full of worry, full of care, full of fear, not knowing how things are going to turn out. And here he tells you why. And we'll close with this. Notice this, the rest of this, because he tells you why you can live that way with a suspense-free mind. For verse 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows you have need of these things. God knows you need things. How many know that? I was just saying I didn't complete it. I don't need a donkey, but I do need a vehicle, right? I do need a four-wheel drive truck. Well, I like them. So I have need of it. Right? Remember the donkey? Jesus said, go tell them, go get that donkey. And when they say anything, just tell them the Lord needs that donkey. All right? I have need of it. And you do too, right? You're not going to ride a donkey to church. You're not going to ride your bike unless you're close by. You know what I'm saying? And you're not going to walk unless you're close by. How many know? Are y'all getting what I'm saying? Even though things cost more, you can't let that get in the way of God meeting your need. God didn't say, I'll meet your needs according to my riches and glory, as long as gas doesn't go over $4 a gallon. Now that's the limit on heaven. How many know there's no limit here? Notice this now. He said, verse 31, but rather seek you. Here's what, you're not to seek the things. You seek the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Here's what I want. Here's the verse we need to get to. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Glory be to God. What's he saying? Don't worry about things because it's part of the kingdom. Things are part of the kingdom. It's part of your kingdom blessing. Amen. So he said, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to have a suspense-filled mind. Now see, it's to your advantage that you learn to live this way. Because all worry does, it's like Corey Ten Boom said, it's like a rocking chair. You know, you're doing a lot, but you're not getting anywhere.
Getting sick.
Yeah, getting sick. Getting messed up. She said some pretty cool things about worry, you know, when she was alive. You know, like, you know, I forget what all she said, but pretty cool things. But, you know, I just want to challenge you to see it as a curse, not as a blessing. And let me give you this, and I'll let you go. But Mark chapter 4, which we didn't read that tonight. We may read it some other time. But it talks about things that choke the word, and it talks about the cares of this life. These are they which are sown among what? Thorns. What are thorns? Thorns are part of the curse. Thorns aren't original with God. It's the curse. It represents the curse. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Amen. These are they which are sown among thorns. The word sown among thorns, and it says, I'll just read you that scripture. You don't have to go there, but I'll read it to you because I think it's important for us to hear it. But it says this. It says, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things enter in, choke the word. Listen to this. And it, the word, becomes unfruitful. Literally, one translation says where it says the word becomes unfruitful. That's God's word, right? Becomes unfruitful in your life. One translation I love that says nothing comes of it. People say, I stand on the word and nothing comes of it. Well, there's your reason why you're letting something in there to choke it out. Could be worry. Amen. See, I heard one minister say that some things weren't happening in his life. Some things weren't coming to pass. He went to the Lord about it, and the Lord said, well, you got worry in your life. Get rid of it. He got rid of it, and it came to pass. Why? It chokes out the word. Stand up, everybody. We don't want it doing that to us. Amen? Redeemed from the curse of worry, you and I. You say, well, Pastor, this sounds too good to be true. That's the way God is. Amen. He's so good. Amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.